This week is Parshas Zachar, Shabbat Zachar. In addition to the regular Torah reading of Parshas Vayikra, we read a special maftir from the end of Parshas Kitzeitzei, which discusses the evil that the nation Amalek did to us, to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people. And the Torah tells us to remember the evil they did to us, and it tells us that there's a mitzvah to eradicate and erase this evil nation. And in the Haftorah, we read about the story of Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, where indeed he engaged in a battle against the Amaleki nation. There's a discussion as to what's included in the mitzvah to erase the memory of Amalek. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim seems to imply that this mitzvah is relevant only once Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, have a king. And the Rambam also doesn't make any mention of destroying their property or destroying their animals. Seemingly, he's just discussing destroying the people. Rashi in Parshas Kitzeitzei quotes a medrash which seems to imply that there's a mitzvah to destroy even their animals in order that there shouldn't be any remembrance of them. However, Rashi in Sefer Shmuel, in the story of Shaul HaMelech, of King Saul, seems to imply otherwise, because Rashi says that the reason they were obligated to destroy all their animals was because the Amaleki nation, through witchcraft, would turn themselves into animals, and that was the reason that we needed to destroy the animals, because there was people that turned themselves into animals. There is, however, a Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Peshalach, towards the ends of the parasha, where the Torah also discusses Amalek, which seems to imply that there is an obligation to destroy even their property. And it would almost seem like certainly their livestock. And he references the story in the Megillah. In Megillah's Esther, the Purim story, it says that there was these enemies of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael fought back, and it says they did not send forth their hands on the spoils. And Rabbeinu Bachai says that's because it seems the way he's, it seems from his words that the way he's understanding is because they were from the nation of Amalek and it would be forbidden to benefit from their property. However, Rashi over there says that simply the reason that they did not send forth their hands towards the spoils is lest people think that these weren't really enemies of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people, and rather they just wanted to get their money, and that's the reason that they killed them, and that's the reason they fought with them. So from this Rashi, perhaps you could bring a proof that he holds that it would not be forbidden to benefit from their spoils, but perhaps we could give a suggestion to get around that. So Rashi's opinion is not 100% clear. However, Rabbeinu Bachai does seem clear. But now the question will be as follows. According to this Rabbeinu Bachai, who is suggesting that the reason that they cannot take the spoils was because it would be part of the prohibition to keep the property of this evil nation of Amalek, why does the Megillah in the Purim story Ahasuerush gave the house of Haman to Mordechai? Why was Mordechai able, according to this Rabbeinu Bachai, able to take the house of Haman, to take his estate? According to the Rambam, which seemingly makes no mention of destroying their property, there's no question. But according to Rabbeinu Bachai, why would he be allowed to take the estate of Haman? So I saw this question in Kuntres B'Yad Moshe, authored by my esteemed older brother Yehuda, and he wanted to suggest an answer based on the commentary of the Vilna Gaon and the Malbim. That they write on this story, on this part of the story, that the home, the house, the estate of Haman was given to Mordechai was in order that people would realize that Ahasuerus is really siding with the Jewish people. Otherwise, they would just say, oh, maybe it's some rumor that Esther had this whole thing and she told him to save my nation. But now that they saw that he really gave over the estate and the power that Haman had to Mordechai, then they really realized this is real. Ahasuerus, the king, is really siding with them, and we better stay away from them. And that was part of the salvation. So my brother suggests perhaps that's the reason why, even though really maybe according to the Rabbeinu Bachai, it would be prohibited to keep the property of Amalek, But perhaps since in this situation, it was a situation of life and death, and we know life and death, except for the three cardinal sins, can override the other prohibitions, perhaps in this case, this was such a dire situation that it was permitted. And he suggests maybe, Miguel doesn't tell us, but perhaps at a later point in time, they destroyed the home of Haman. We're not told that, but this is the suggestion he offers to explain this opinion of Rabbeinu Bachai. But as we said, according to the Rambam, there's no mention of this. And according to Rashi, there seems to be contradictions in his commentary. So it's unclear exactly what his conclusion is. That requires further research.